The most interesting thing about this story of Jesus, Mary, and Martha is our individual reaction to it. If you know this story well, then you might have come into church this morning with your mind already made up about what it means. If this, for some reason, is a new story for you, or if you haven't heard it for a while, then I wonder what you're thinking about it right now. Luke's story has permeated our culture in so many ways. It has affected the way that women are portrayed and the ways in which women talk about ourselves. It has ramped up sibling rivalry. The image of Martha as this servant has even come into our very current culture for those of you who followed the television series The Handmaid's Tale. Think about what the women who are the servers are called. They are the Marthas. Not such a positive portrayal. And women I know, even here at this church, call themselves Marthas. I'm a Martha, I will hear, in how we approach our lives, almost in a confessory type way. I've heard that so often, but I hardly ever, in fact, maybe never, have heard anybody call themselves a Mary. I'm a Mary. Because that image of sitting in front of Jesus, just listening and learning, sounds so much like such a selfish thing to do, doesn't it? Despite his obvious approval of Mary's choice. Well, no matter how we feel about Mary and Martha, this story riles people up. It's hard to peel away our old notions from the text to look at it with new eyes. And I think when that happens, it's good to wonder, why did Luke include this story in his gospel writing? No other gospel writers have this story, just Luke. I think he included it in there because this story of Mary and Martha and Jesus is a partner to the story that we heard last week, which was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Even if you weren't in church last week, you know what I'm talking about, right? That story was last week, right before Jesus shows up with Mary and Martha. I think that it's there but intentionally by Luke, because in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is teaching us how to love our neighbor. And in the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus is teaching us about how to love God. He begins those two stories, if you recall, with this preamble. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So how should we love our neighbor? We found out that we love our neighbor with compassion and with mercy. So how should we love our God? We love our God with everything that we are, with everything that we have, and with every fiber of our being. Love God first. That is the one thing, and everything else will flow from that. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted with many things, Jesus says to her. This was not a judgment on her. This was not a criticism, nor was it any kind of a punishment. This is a picture of how Jesus meets Martha exactly where she is. He names her life for her with compassion and with mercy, while at the same time he speaks truth to her by saying to her that when we pay attention to the one thing, everything else will make sense. And from these two actions, from the two actions of loving self, neighbor, and God, come a right relationship with the world and with one another. Come a right relationship with God. Hello. This is a great sound in here. I just want to say, there are so many kids in here today. It is awesome. So talk about loving one another. This is a sample of what we're talking about. These little, what I call commentary on the liturgies that go on all during our service. But it's wonderful. It really is. So thank you for bringing your children to church. So let me back up here and say it again, because I got a little distracted. So the two actions of loving, right? Right relationship with the world, with one another, and right relationship with God. And how we love one another. This is important. How we love one another is a mirror of how we love God. Loving God first gives us the courage and the ability to love one another righteously. Well, if it were only that easy. If I got that right every day, I would be the best person that God ever created. What a burden that would be, right? However, it has happened in my life that I have remembered once in a while to put my love of God first. It has happened once in a while that I sit and listen to Jesus, that I stop and hear him, that I notice his presence in one another person across who crosses my path. It has happened that I've heard his voice clearly when I really need to hear it. It has happened. So I have this evidence that loving God first truly helps me with the rest of what happens in all of the other moments of my life. There's an order to the day that emerges, a calming of anxiety, a resetting and a reshifting of priorities. It's all those other days. That's the huge challenge. Because here's the thing. There are people out there that I have absolutely no desire to show compassion to. Do you know what I mean? There are people who I highly disagree with, or people who I observe doing really bad, even despicable things. There are people who will say something so wounding, so hurtful, that it hits me in the gut, and it stays with me for a long time. There are people who get in my way, and who are easy for me to criticize and judge. Even people I love and need sometimes rub me entirely the wrong way. Compassion? It's really hard. Much of the time, by myself, I have absolutely no strength or ability to show mercy or compassion to others. And I wonder this too. What is the balance between showing compassion and calling another person to account? How do I show compassion without losing who I am, without compromising my own hard, fought-for integrity? This is tension. This tension, this call to compassion and to integrity of self, is a big part of the dilemma of being a person of faith. I don't know the answer. But what I do know is we have to live in the middle of the question. We have to be in that tension, and we have to help each other hold both sides together in our search for meaning and in our call to be merciful. What I do know is that we are called to try, and we're called to look to the man of perfect integrity, to the one who shows perfect compassion. Because Jesus always met people exactly where they are. He sees every person. He sees the ones on the margins. He sees the poor. He sees the children. He also sees the powerful, the anxious, the ones acting in deception and violence. He sees us all through God's eyes, through God's compassionate, merciful, and forgiving eyes. Yet, Jesus was a man of perfect integrity. He never lost that. He spoke the truth to the people he met. He spoke to them as he speaks to us, not for his own gain, not to win points, not to be right, not to be right. But he did it for the other person's gain, for the other person to be full and whole and be able to claim their own integrity. And he speaks to them and to us to show God's nature of love to the world. On the days when I have forgotten about the one thing, about loving God first, when my own capacity for compassion is scarce, if I open my heart and my ears, I can almost always hear Jesus saying to me in very different ways, "Beth, Beth, you are worried and distracted by many things. Let me show you how to get back to that first commandment again. Let me open the door and guide you there with my love." Jesus says that to me through the voices of people who know me, who love me, and who care about me. But he also says that to me through the voices of people that I have disappointed, people I have forgotten, people I have ignored. Jesus says that to me through the compassion and the mercy shown to me by others. So because I have been shown mercy, therefore, I must show mercy to others. Because I have been shown compassion, therefore, I must show compassion. And when it feels absolutely impossible to do this, there's Jesus again, inviting me to sit at his feet and to listen. There is love showing the way. And showing compassion, especially to those we see engaging in what we describe as despicable behavior, we are then loving God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind. And we are holding on to our own integrity. We can become more integrated into ourselves as the people that God has created us to be, becoming complete. In the moments of compassion and integrity, we become the doers and the listeners, the Martha and the Mary. We become one. Amen.